recorder going. Amen. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for getting me closer to this mic. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, that it's going to be an awesome night with you, Lord. And we praise you and we thank you that the people that we prayed for today are healed, delivered, and are set free. In Jesus' name, because we have faith, we have bold faith, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us closer to you. Thank you, Lord, for getting rid of this dross out of us. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to walk the walk that you want us to walk and to understand that it's you in us that helps us to get this walk down, Lord. And I praise you and thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name. What happened to Benita? Okay. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request while we're waiting on folks to get in here? Yeah, Julie.
Yeah, I want to pray. I have neighbors that are living in sin, we'll just say, and they're two women, and they're very. They've been very kind to me and stuff. You know, been good neighbors to me. But at the one, and I know they took the vaccinations. I'm sure they did. But the one has been having problems, neurological problems, and they have not been able to just to find out what's causing it. But like her one leg is very, very weak, and she'll just her legs will just give out on her, and she'll fall. And that's been going on now for probably a year. And anyhow, I just found out that she was hospitalized. She fell in the store and they had to call an ambulance for her and they took her to the hospital. She has since been put into, I guess, some kind of rehab. I guess I haven't, this is hearsay. Somebody else told me about it. But anyhow, I just want to lift them up. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for my neighbors, all of them. And I lift up Carrie to you, Lord, and the things that she's been going through right now with her body. And I'm pretty sure it's a result of taking the vaccine. And she's suffering this. And they haven't been able to identify the problem or even know really how to treat it. She's been doing physical therapy and not helping. And she's not. I don't know. I know she mentioned to me she didn't like it, physical therapy. It's probably pretty hard for her. But Lord, I pray your blessing on both of them and that you would draw them to Jesus, the real Jesus, and that the Jesus that does not condone their living arrangements and how they live, and that you love them and that you want to change them and heal them from their past and whatever and however that manifested, that they have been hurt and wounded and are in this relationship together. And I also pray, God, for your mercy and grace that you not take them unsaved. And you said you would bless those who bless me, Lord, and you curse those who curse me. And they've been good neighbors to me. They've been kind. They've been helpful. And I thank you for them, Lord, and I thank you for working in their lives and granting them repentance, and that they would repent and turn to the real Jesus and repent of their lifestyle, and that they come into the kingdom, Lord. And I thank you for doing that in the name of Jesus. I praise you and thank you. And I also ask God for your mercy with these judgments that are happening around the country and elsewhere with all of these fires and the weather. The way it's been going, and protect your elect. I know there's huge fires going on around Reno, and I know last time I looked this morning, they had not got it much contained, and it had taken out some homes in outside of the city limits, but it was threatening the town of Reno. So, Father, you know, I have sent the angels, and I thank you, Lord, for helping them to put down these fires. Also the ones that are burning in Oklahoma and Texas and all over the West, Lord, where these fires are burning. And I thank you, Lord, for your mercy with these judgments and that you are using it to turn people to you. And also, God, that your protection be on your elect and your people are waking up to what these things are about. There's a lot of things happening in the world. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of distractions, but help us, Lord, to be about your business and doing what you've called us to be doing, and doing it in faith and believing you to bring down their weather manipulation. And thank you, Lord, for bringing cooler weather here. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for bringing back some normal temperatures that we would get a reprieve. And I pray for the people who do not have air conditioning, that they would be able to get to places where they can get a break from being in the heat, and provide for those people, Lord. I mean, even the cost of electricity and that too, because of all this, that they have trouble paying their bills. I pray for that, those funds to come in. And also regarding all these things, I also just pray down and cast down every threat and possible power shutoffs because of fire safety, and that there would be possible, shutdowns of the power grid because of safety things. I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that the conditions would be such that they would not have to touch the power grid and turn off specific areas because they would be threatening to cause fires or that kind of thing. That's the way they are wording their fire preparedness email that went out to everybody the other day. So they're already conditioning people and threatening these things, and I cast it all down. And I thank you, Lord, for keeping it such that the conditions don't manifest where they would have to turn the power grid off for anybody. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord, for sending your angels. We command those angels to go out there and put that fire out there and in Oklahoma and Texas too. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right. Anyone else? Hey, Joe. Lord, I thank you for bringing down all Islamic strongholds in this United States. I thank you for sending your angels in amongst them to create confusion, faction, and to get them out of here. And I praise you and thank you for it, Father. These are anti-Christ people or religion. And I thank you, Father, for moving them out in Jesus' name. They don't belong here. This is a country that's based on Christian principles, not some anti-Christ. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Father, thank you for your goodness to us, Lord, and thank you for the things that you've brought into our country, and that you are using these things, this influence of the Muslim, religion and everything that has come in, this turning of the American people to be, I guess, receptive to the concept of socialism. And Lord, I'm just, I don't know how to pray about that, Lord, because I know that you use these things to wake up people and to turn people to cry out to you. But the devastation of receiving and accepting this type of ideology is so destructive, Lord. But I trust you, Lord, that you are going to bring open the eyes up of the American people, open the eyes up of those that you desire to bring out of this thinking. I bind that spirit of socialism in here in the America, in the United States, and I ask Lord that you would start to open up the young people's eyes to see just the cause and effect relationship that takes place in the accepting of this ideology of the destruction of competition, which destroys efficiency and destroys control and quality of products. It just destroys the whole system. And it does provide short-term benefits, very, very short-term benefits. But Lord, we have a society of people that have been educated away from common sense and the not knowing and understanding the cause and effects that takes place in accepting this sort of situation. Unfortunately, people understand it when it's too far gone and it's destroyed so much. So Lord, we pray that you would open up the eyes of our younger people, our society, the younger generation coming in, not the teenagers or whatever, but the 30s and 40s and 50-year-old people, that you would open up their eyes and allow them to understand this and to cast it down. We just trust you, Lord. We send forth the angels, Lord, to start taking down these some of these areas that are trying to prove a point, such as in New York City and this mayor that is trying to usher in certain things, Lord. Businesses, I'm hearing that businesses are moving out right and left, and Lord, we just ask that you would open up the eyes of the society there, the voting public there, that they would understand that there's going to be no competition, there's going to be no stores, there's going to be no medical facilities or any of that sort of thing. It's all going to deteriorate and go away. Just because of the whole competition and the whole environment has changed. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for bringing it upon us, Lord, to open up the eyes of our people, to open up our eyes. Lord, we thank you for your grace, and your wisdom that you give us, Lord. We ask you that you would start to permeate the churches in the United States here, and that you would start to turn hearts toward you, that you would bring forth a revival of the reality of the Word of God, and the requirement to believe and trust and walk and assimilate your word into our lives, Lord. We just ask you to forgive us for being passive in our and compliant with society or that which is around us, Lord. And we just ask you to open up our eyes, give us strength and grace to walk in your word and to start to take down these strongholds that are around us. We thank you for the influence and the focus of your word that we have been receiving as of late, and that is dying to self and dying to our own soul life that wants to keep that old man of sin alive and keep that limitation upon our life. Lord, we renounce it. We cast it down. We thank you that we were crucified in Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We thank you that your word of truth, Lord, is permeating our soul from our spirit, from your Holy Spirit, and that you're bringing us into a perfect, complete place in you, mature in you and in your word and in your truth. We thank you, Lord, because it is only you that can do this and bring us through into this place. So we just bless you. We thank you, Lord, that we have you to guide us. You've given us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth and to empower us to establish your dominion through our life in this earth and to make an impact. And so we just trust you for bringing it to pass. We commit our ways unto you, Lord, to accomplish that very thing and trust you for bringing it to pass in our lives, Lord. We just praise you and thank you. We thank you, Lord, that Ezekiel 37 is coming to pass and that you have gone away, so to speak. You've pulled your presence back intentionally in this last days, in these last days, in order to for your people to open up their eyes and to learn to cry out for you in our time of trouble, in this time of trouble that we are in this country. Lord, 2 Chronicles 7:14, it comes to mind as we that you send the pestilence into this country. You send these things against us for the very purpose of bringing us to the end of our resources, so to speak, our inner resources, and for to bring us into a place of crying out to you and trusting you and calling upon the name of the Lord. And you said that we will be saved. So we thank you for that, Lord. We trust you. Thank you that you are bringing us into that place. And we trust you to supply what we need and to take us all the way through. Send your Holy Spirit, empower us to walk in your way, in your word, and to bring in the harvest in this last day, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I think I'm the only baby boomer on here. Is there anybody here? I say, I think it goes from 46 to 64. Anyway, during the baby boomer years, when we were in school, we had atomic bomb drills. When we were in elementary and all the way up through middle school, we had bomb, what do they call them? Where you we when that thing went off, when the bell went off, and it said so many times, we'd get up and go to the basement to get away from nuclear
Bomb
bomb
raids?
threat.
Bomb
Yeah,
raids?
bomb
Like
raids.
bomb
Yeah.
raids? Bomb raid
Drills.
drills,
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
and we had to do that, and we were always taught about communism and socialism as being a bad thing, and they have, of course, allowed the socialists to take over the colleges and some high schools and stuff that teach that socialism is not, it's a real good way to have a government. There's never been a socialist government or a communist government that has succeeded in a mighty way. None. It's always been capitalists that have always succeeded. Yeah, Pat.
Well, the interesting thing about it is it
You froze up.
destroyed the ability for children, and I say children, it was starting in our age, and they've destroyed the children's ability to logically think one thought, which causes another thing to happen, which causes another thing to happen, because the socialists, all they have is were giving away all of this stuff, but they never say and never explain how they're going to get the money, where they get the money, because they only know how to transfer wealth. They don't know how to create it. And it's funny because our families, when we raise our families are automatically start as a socialist environment. And our children, they come in and children are born and we're taking care of them constantly and constantly and constantly and supplying their need and giving them everything they need. And it's a total socialist type of, from their perspective, benefit. But then obviously, as the years go on, you train those children, or you should train those children, to learn how to support themselves, learn how to give to others and whatever, so that they can grow up and create their families and do the exact same thing. But it hasn't seemed to happen in our generation that we're facing now. And I think the problem is that it's not being taught in school, that this whole mentality of constantly giving people and giving people something, and then not training them how to live and how to learn to give to others and whatnot. And it makes people expect that socialism is a good thing and that it can work, but it totally destroys incentive to create wealth. And the funny thing about it, even in a family where you're supplying everything for your children, you still have to have one source of wealth creation in that family. And socialist governments don't they expect they make their money through the influence of another government, such as the America, that supplies their ability to make money. It's just a whole crazy loop. So I don't know. I shouldn't be rattling on about it, but whatever. It just seems like the education system has destroyed people's ability to logically think it through.
I like what who was it? I think it was Scott Bessent that said that they're going back to the Hamiltonian mindset of America will produce everything that they need and won't have to depend upon anyone else outside of America. We used to have that, but you remember during the Democrat years, they sent everything to China, sent a lot of things to China, and but now they're starting to make it worth their while to come back and open up here again. So that's an awesome move, I think, where we won't be dependent upon countries that are against us for anything. And of course, they should have been doing, but we used to be that way. I don't know if y'all remember what we did. We used to produce everything that we needed right here in America. Probably probably the only country that can do that. I don't know that for a fact, but well, I'm gonna get off this. I need to run for Senate. Oh gosh.
Well, even Michael, even in that what you're talking about there, that's the whole purpose of tariffs, or was the purpose of tariffs, because what a tariff obviously, what a tariff does is if another country like China, utilizing slave labor, shall we say, produces a product that in our country, paying employees whatever benefits they have here, and it costs $15 to make that widget, and you may and so you have a China a foreign country that makes it for $2, and they bring it in and sell it for $5, and they destroy and so they destroy our ability to compete with that. There's the competition thing coming in. So tariffs says, okay, we'll take that, we'll let them sell that $5 product in here, but we're going to tax or tariff that another $10 and bring it up to the $15 level so that and then we're going to take that. The only thing I don't understand about that whole process is what happens to the $10 that they take in. That just goes to the government.
It goes to the treasury, yes. It goes into the treasury, or supposed to.
Supposed to go into the treasury and then reduce our taxation in this country.
Yeah,
Supposed
and
to.
that's,
But what
but
it's
that's,
doing now is going into a black
well, wait a
hole,
minute,
you know?
wait a minute, well, wait a minute. Trump is looking at that. He's already shut down a lot of that garbage that's been going on. Billions and billions of dollars that have been sent off to Lord knows where, you know.
Right.
And he is shutting that down. He really is. He's already, as far as the intelligence project, he's fired off the other day. I saw 487 people in the Secret Service and the FBI and the CIA, something like that, and the Secret Service. So he's trying to get, he's the best president we've had in, I can't tell you when.
Right.
And a lot of people don't like him because he's taking away their money, their honeypot thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah. And that's the reason they come against it. The deep state media, mainstream media, they're fixing to get shut down because of all the nefarious things that they have broadcast in their news that was wrong. And it's just, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take somebody with his fortitude and backbone to complete the job. I don't know if he's going to be able to or not, but Lord knows. As we know, it's Babylon at best. He's not a Christian, but he is an American. And I'll say this, back in the 50s and 60s, even the 60s, as tumultuous as it was, as hectic as it was still, there were still a lot of people that were Americans, that were patriotic. If you're old enough, you remember the 60s were a lot of turmoil in the cities. Yeah, Pat. Yeah, I said, go ahead.
My screen froze up.
Okay.
The 60s went through their rebellious time. Some of us found the Lord through that process, but those that didn't and became the leaders of today and still carry that spirit of rebellion. And The interesting thing about it, I met when I was, in my 20s and 30s, I remember that there was a saying, "Don't trust anybody over 30." And then when those kids got to be 30, and it changed to "Don't trust anybody over 40." And I noticed that it never made it to the 50, because they figured it's a losing gig. We're gonna, everybody's gonna get older here. Now you have your rock and roll stars that are still trying to, strut their stuff on stage that are 80 years old and whatever. And it's pathetic, but anyway. So now they're in the halls of Congress, and still reigning, I guess you might say.
Yeah. Well, Lord, we thank you for straightening it all out. I know it's not going to be perfect before you come and things start happening here, but Lord, we just know that we've got our mind's eye on you, Lord. We got our eyes on you and staying on you, and we're going to walk this out with you, Lord. And we know that we can't do anything without you. We can't even clean ourselves up without you helping us, Lord. That you doing it, us looking at you at all time. Yeah, they do look kind of ridiculous. You got what's the guy from the oh gosh, the guy that looks like he's 238 years old and singing rock and roll still. Big band.
Sounds like the Stones.
Oh, yep, that's it. The Stones, the Rolling Stones. He's been looking like he's over 100 for about 30 years now.
The younger rock bands call them the Strolling Bones.
Oh gosh. Oh my. But anyway. Okay. Has anybody else got any prayer requests? We'll go get off this stuff here. Lord's taking care of that. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah, Missy.
I like to pray. Something just came to me. Lord, we just pray, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are going to expose through many means, Lord, all these pedophiles and adrenochrome and cannibalism and all this horrific evil pedophile. Did I say that? Anyway, all this stuff, Lord. Whoever's doing it, Lord, and they're going to be known, Lord, and they're going to be brought to justice. And we pray, Lord, if there's any elect among them, Lord, we pray that you would thank you, Lord, that you're going to grant them repentance and they're going to come into the kingdom, Lord, and you're going to use them to bring others into the kingdom, Lord, and just to have awesome testimonies of salvation and what you've done for them, Lord. And we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. I just thank you, Lord, for the time we're in right now. Praise be to God. We're fixing to see a great revival. And we're not only going to see a great revival. We're going to see the works that you're going to do through your people. Ooh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Okay. Yes, go ahead. Judy's fixing to sing us another song.
I want all of you to sing too, okay?
Okay, we'll sing with you.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's a good song. I like that. Talia Smith, Go Kroger. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Julie.
That was the song that Winnie and Zoe were singing here recently in the your
Oh,
live stream.
I didn't know.
Yep.
That's the first time I've heard it, I guess. Okay. Anybody else got anything before we get into the real good news? Yeah, Lucy. What's your name?
Missy, I just have a comment to make about that song. You know, it says about him coming on a horse, white light, lightning or something. A lot of people would take that as being like, I forget what chapter, when it says he has a name written on his on it, and he's covered in blood or whatever. Anyway, but I see that most, like I said, most Christians would take it as that, but I take it as the white horse rider at the beginning of the tribulation. That man child. Bring him, Lord. Bring him on. Bring him on.
Amen.
Bring the
Thank you,
anointing,
Lord.
Lord.
Amen, Missy. I'm in
Let it
agreement.
come. Let it come. I
That's the
am
white
too.
horse rider. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus is coming back on his real big horse. You know,
Amen.
with his name written across his thigh, the word of God, that part. I mean, he is coming back at that point too. Every eye will see him, and yeah, amen.
I saw a deal the other day. Somebody sent it to me. And it was this Jewish guy at this church, and they were asking people to come up who wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't know if some of y'all saw that or not, but boy, and this Hebrew guy came up there, he was a Hebrew scholar also. And the guy asked him if he wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I forget his response. He said, "I will not be done anything unless the Lord Himself tells me that Jesus is Lord. So I won't accept anything unless the Lord Himself tells me that Jesus is Lord." And lo and behold, a lady was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And she started speaking in tongues. And she was speaking in tongues loud. And this Hebrew guy, he says, "She's speaking in Hebrew. She's speaking in Hebrew. What is she saying?" He's saying that, "Listen to me. My name is Jesus. I am the Lord, the King of all. I am the Lord, the King of all." And of course, you know what happened. He came to the Lord. Praise God. God is so awesome and merciful, isn't he? To even take us in our ignorance and our stupidity, he'll take us. Golly. Yeah, Pat.
So I know that I think it was in the last message. There was a dream, I think, that God is going to do something tremendous in the big sin cities. The San Francisco, I think, is one of them that we're talking about. Was referred to in that dream. But a long time ago, the Lord showed me that He was also going to do something in the, I guess, the rock and roll world, so to speak, where the perversion and it's the outlet or the inlet into society, and the outlet that allows that conduit, that perversion to come through. But God is going to, I believe, going to do something in those people's lives, because Even we were talking about the some of these people that are so old, and but there's also that aspect that they've come to the end of their life, and what do they have to show for it? Does the money and the wealth and the drugs and the has that given them everything that they have really desired? And I think that, they're even in that place where now they're looking at the emptiness that is really there in them, and that thing called eternal life now becomes something of a desire and a need, for them in that time. So I think that God's going to do something even in that industry, and bring revival in there as well. So I would keep an eye out for it and keep prayer up for it. Praise the Lord.
Go ahead, Miss. You're muted, Missy.
Sorry, I lower my hand and I forget to unmute. Anyway, I was going to ask Michael to if he could share that video, send it to us in an email or put it in a Signal chat, the video of the Hebrew, the Jewish guy.
I don't even know where it is, Missy. I ran across it and listened to it, and I never even saved it or anything. Just type in YouTube. Look, it's on YouTube. Just type in
Okay.
Hebrew scholar comes to Jesus after hearing Jesus talk to him,
Okay.
or something like that.
Yeah. Well, my thought is that would be an awesome video to use to show people who are scoffers about speaking in tongues.
Yeah, it would. It would. Sandy talks about, you probably remember, she talks about being in a church and she was speaking in tongues, and these Chinese people behind her heard her. And after the services, they asked her, "Did you speak Chinese very well?" And she didn't. She didn't know what she was saying. But anyway. All right, anyone else? Okay, we're going to go in back into real good news. I want to finish a book at one time. We can do real good news. We're on page, what is it? 143. Yeah, 143. And the first full paragraph, everybody knows, I know, y'all know, everybody know. I'll give you just a second to get it on, where you can read it. Just, hey, can you imagine? Here's, listen, I'm gonna stop just a second and tell you what we have been doing. And it's amazing. It's amazing. We have instructed the angels to drop books down, like the real good news, in front of people so that they would read it. People that are agnostic, the people that we know that believe that their way is the right way. And how many of you know that when a book drops down from a ceiling like this, right in front of you, and sits on the desk in front of you, that you're going to read it? Huh? Everybody that we've done that to is, oh my goodness, this has got to be from the Lord. And they'll read it. If you've got people in your family that are agnostic or just won't listen to you at all, ask the angels. They make them, they do it all over the world now. just have them create whichever book you want. I've always been doing either Sovereign God or Real Good News. Real Good News has always been a good one. And they'll do it. They'll do it. We have one that said that was not even a believer that said this. You probably heard David talking about it, and I'm just going to mention it vaguely. He said this. He said, "I've never known a God that actually did supernatural things." I mean, you get one of these coming down like this while you're sitting in there watching this thing come down like this. You're going to pick it up, aren't you? After you get over being scared of Okay, Judy, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that people would probably start to respect what is being said, if that's
Yeah.
something like that happened. Something that just came to my mind, but we can pray about, is I maybe some of you have seen this too in the news, not like on social, not on mainstream or anything like that, but through YouTube or something. But apparently, there is a Muslim. Well, first of all, they're putting all kinds of books, old history books, everything. They are getting them translated into electronic format, and they want to do away with all hard copy material,
Who
like
does?
like the Beast system. They want to do away with real hardcover because it's his history is written there. But you put it in electronic format, and then you can take AI and you can change it, modify it to what you want it to say. That's my thinking. That's part of it. The other thing I heard was that they are taking a Muslim company, I'm sorry, a Muslim, I don't know, group company, bought a major, I don't know who the publisher is, I didn't go researching that, but bought a major publisher of Bibles. And bought that company, bought that publishing company, a Muslim company or people, whatever, bought out a publishing company that produces and publishes Bibles, if you get what I'm going with that, the drift of that. Like, so they can do away with selling of the Bibles. So that was something I think we should be praying about. And also, someone else was saying, I don't know if this is, I mean, I know God's going to provide everything that his people are going to need. He'll manifestly produce a Bible for somebody. But I don't know if it's a really good idea that we, if we can, if you have the finances to do it and seek the Lord to buy up Bibles now while you can get them. And I was looking on Amazon and they do have, there are some Bibles, ASV version Bibles that are in, both paperback and hard copy. So something to think about if you have some extra funds and the Lord leads you to buy up these Bibles that are available now for distribution to somebody who's going to need a Bible in the days ahead. But seek the Lord, because I, that's
Amen.
just something that was coming to my mind, but I think we should pray about it, Michael, about those things.
I think that the Lord's going to take care of that when we get all of the cards and stuff. I'll tell you another good Bible is the RESV. That's a good Bible. It really is. I really like it. Missy, have you found any big errors in it? I haven't. If she's
I'm trying
studying
to
or she
think.
fiction.
I'm trying to think. I think I, I'm not sure. I think I have, but I can't tell you. Nothing real major, I don't think. I don't like sometimes that they change a word when it really wasn't necessary. It's not anything to do with Old English or these thous and whatever. But
The thing that I have done in the past is if I found something that was patently wrong, I would notify and they would change it. That's how honest they are. They want to change it and make sure goes along with the ASV version. And some of the people that they had at that time that I was helping them editing it had a lot of Baptist background, it looked like. And they were putting their words in it, the theocracy in it, and they made them change it. I'm telling you, they did. They made them change it. That's
What Bible was this, Michael?
the Revised American Standard, Refreshed American Standard Version.
Refresh. I've never heard that one.
I have a question. I missed. What page did you all say we were on in Real Good News?
What?
What page are we on in Real Good News?
You can speak up, Missy.
I am speaking up. I'm not going to scream at you.
We're at 143.
Okay, I thought maybe that's what I heard, but I wasn't sure. Thank you.
Yeah, 143.
First, yeah, the first new paragraph.
First paragraph. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and start reading. You can, by the way, you can get that RASV in a New Testament also, Pat. It's very handy. And you can get, they're very high on their soft cover Bibles. You can buy the hardcover Bibles for $50, I think. And the New Testament, I think, is 25. Go ahead, Judy.
Can we pray about that stuff with the Bibles and what they're
Sure.
doing with this? Okay. You want to pray? You want me to pray?
Go ahead. I'm not sure I even know what they're talking about.
Okay. Well, Father, I thank you that you're sovereign over all these things, and we know that you're going to be able to produce Bibles for your people when time comes, even if you just print them up right there in front of them and drop them in their hands. But we bind up these spirits, and we bind up what they're doing with trying to revise history, making it all. Doing away with all the hardcover books of history, real history, what's been written, and then doing away with them and putting everything in electronic form for their purposes of putting it in text where they can alter it and that kind of thing. And we also bind up these Muslims, whatever company it is who's doing what they're doing, who has purchased this book publisher who produces and publishes Bibles, that they will not be able to do anything illegal with it, or cease production of Bibles, or stop producing and publishing Bibles. We forbid that in Jesus' name, and we send the angels to take away that ability to do that, and that whoever's whatever publisher this is and why that they sold out for a cost to Muslims to be able to do that. And that's it, even if this is true. So Lord, this is all, I know I didn't research it out to see if it was true or not, but I heard it on a couple different sources. And so it could have been just somebody said, so somebody else is sharing the same thing without, and I don't want to be that too without doing my homework. But if it's true, Lord, we forbid it and we command it to cease,
Amen.
and that no monies are going to be used to buy up these publishers and their company to stop them from producing Bibles. And we know that there's going to come a time, Lord, where it will be illegal to have a Bible, and you could be lose your life for that kind of thing. But you will also provide other resources, and which we have right in front of us, which we're going to read tonight, which has so much scripture in it and explains so much of the Bible in it to really help people know who they are in Christ. And what Jesus has come to do, it has the gospel in it. So we thank you, Lord, for even answering more than we can ask in our feeble mind and understanding, Lord, that you will fix it. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to go ahead and start now. I thank you, Lord, that one little small prayer. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to put good Christian people in charge of all of these publishing houses, that there will not be any alteration in the scriptures whatsoever, in Jesus' name. And I praise you and thank you for it, Father. You know, when flesh is on the cross, it doesn't have ability to do its own will. And the Christian who walks in the Spirit doesn't permit their flesh to do its will or its own will. And the Christian who walks doesn't permit their flesh to do its will. And of course, the more you permit the flesh to do its will, the more the devil is invited in and permitted to take over control of your soul. Ultimately, let me get closer. Ultimately, a person becomes, in that case, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Jude 12. These are they who are hidden rocks in your love feast when they feast with you. Shepherds that without fear feed themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn leaves without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Now, you can't be twice dead unless you're twice born, can you? So if you believe that a person can't be born again and yet have a demonic spirit, I ask, then how can a person be twice dead? Well, the truth is the old man has to die. As a matter of fact, Jesus made that a condition for entering the kingdom, Matthew 10, verse 39. Except you lose your life, you will not gain your life. He that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. So this old man has to die, and we have to cooperate with God in this crucifixion of the old life, because the devil can use you as long as you give in to your lust. He can take you over, and in some cases, people can become totally possessed. There are people who say Christians can't be possessed, that they can only be oppressed. They say oppression is from the outside and possession is from the inside. There's no truth to that, folks. A person can be oppressed from the inside and not possessed. The Lord showed me that the demons go in and out of the soul. When a demon is in your body and he reaches into your soul and takes possession of your mind, your will, and your emotion, that's possession. But the demon's been on the inside the whole time, you see. He can back out, by the way. Have you ever noticed that a person can be quite normal one moment and the next moment they act as though they're possessed? Yep. That's because it's because the demons go in and out of the soul. They go in, they take control, they back out, they sit dormant. Sometimes they can be very quiet for years, and you will never know that they're there until something happens to cause them to manifest. Many times when children pass through puberty, the demons will start manifesting in it. And people will wonder, where'd that thing come from? Well, probably all they have to do is look back at their heritage and they'll be able to figure it out. After all, what did you inherit from your parents? We're all wrestling with what we inherited from our parents. Leviticus 17 and 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. It's been passed on. But we know that we've been given a transfusion at the cross, praise be to the Lord. We know that we've been given the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's been passed on to us, glory be to God. We have a new heritage now, a new father, and we give thanks to God for that, but we all wrestle with what was passed on from your parents. And in some cases, not only the nature of the flesh is passed on, but the demons that the parents have had are passed on, and we have to wrestle with those and cast them down. Does anybody have any questions? Yeah, Julie.
Not so much a question as it is just a comment. But it was talking about back on the other page where it references Jude 12, and where they say that they are twice dead and plucked up by the roots. I use that scripture with trying to share the truth with somebody about the thought that, you know, people can't lose their salvation, you know, and trying to justify, well, that person was never saved then, you know, that's their reasoning. It's like either you're saved or you're not, you know, and they say, well, what does that mean then? If you're twice dead and plucked up by the roots, you have to be born again to be dead again. You know, you can lose your salvation. I used that scripture and they didn't have an answer. They didn't have a comeback, but I think they hadn't looked at that revelation and understood that. So anyhow, whenever we can get that opportunity to kind of help people to see where they're wrong about something in a doctrine that they hold so dearly to, you know, thinking they can live any way they want or whatever, and not fear losing their salvation. I just, you know, that was one of them. The Lord helped me to, you know, use that, you know,
Amen. That's a good one.
put questions in their mind. Yeah.
Amen. Okay, Andrew.
Just to comment again on what has been said with Julie. What about the prodigal son? You kind of hope that those people in chapter 15 of Acts were corrected, you know, and the one in Galatia that they were corrected too. And I might add that those were just ceremonial laws, you know, they weren't behavioral laws. And the thing about behavior is he that calleth you is holy, be therefore holy in all your behavior. And we're supposed to be immersed in something. If you were immersed, fire and water are two different elements, but we're supposed to be immersed in both of them, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. So, and I know these three interact with each other because it's the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, anyways, there's just so many parables, you know. The 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish, and goes on into 25 of Matthew. The talents, what about the wedding feast? The great king wants to throw a wedding feast for his son and he invites those bidden. That means they're called twice. But they're too busy. And they're too busy with the world, I guess. And that's they're called people. Can called people make mistakes? Well, who are these people in Matthew 24, verse 5, who come in his name? And do you have any examples like from Galatia? They're coming in his name. And other places, so there are a lot of sayings in the church, and I still remember one guy at the bus stop. He was going to, it was Sunday, I was getting my groceries and they just finished taking all the sidewalk out here, and I went down to the metro store and then I said, well, it rained while I was shopping, so I'm gonna go in on the other side, because their sidewalk, that sidewalk was still cement. This one had dirt in it. I didn't want to get my shoes all muddy. So I went there and it started to rain again. So I ducked into the bus stop and someone ducked in with me. He was wearing a nice suit and stuff. And I started, and I don't often do this, I started talking about the Lord. And I said, there's, I soon found out that this guy was from Africa and the Congo region, and he was going to church, And I said, there's one thing I don't like when they say this, The only thing you can ever hope to be is a sinner. So just be happy you're saved and get on with your life. And because, we were, that was mentioned here in our fellowship. And then I turned and looked at it, and he was angry at me. He had a frown looked on my face. And then I started, what do I do now, Lord? Remind him of his baptism. So I started mentioning things in Romans chapter 6 to him. It ended up after the rain stopped and everything, he gave me an invitation to come to his church. And he told me that he was a deacon in his church. And I got home, put away my groceries, and I had the little invitation there on my end table looking at it. And I'm going, should I go to that? And then I thought, and I said, if I go to that, I might start thinking like that. And
Yeah.
I'll run into people in the bus stop too. And he's a deacon. He's supposed to know about his baptism and all this stuff, you know? And, you know, these sayings, I think they call them mantras. I don't like using fancy words because it's above me. So they have these sayings. Everybody has their own sayings. There, and if there's so many divisions in the church, then God has a, it has to be a miracle for them to get all on the same track, you know. Not a multiverse division denominationalism. Plus, you know, religion itself, you know, the Judean religion has to be corrected, and the others do, because they don't have a sacrifice, you know. Anyway, you guys are blessed in America because you've had the word, and many different geographical regions are not the same as other geographical regions like they are here. And I thought about just the Americas, North and South America, the differences in the people, you know. But even within a city, you know, you have different regions and different powers over the regions. But we have authority in Christ to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and to know the word put in us is the new covenant. From the least of us to the greatest of us. And I don't even think people know what the new covenant is, you know, how they can formalize it to you, or where to even find it in the Bible, you know. And some people just think, like we've often discussed, that it's just forgiveness. And that's the extent of their belief, and they're right, and you can't say anything to them. And that includes this thing that happened in 1999, 2000, the URI. And there are just so many Bible verses against that. You know, how does that fit in with one body, one spirit? How does that fit in with the sanctuary verse?
What's a URI, if I might ask?
United Religions Initiative in the UN. It's kind of, even from what's going on now, it's a DRI, a Divided Religions Initiative, and it's not a UN either. It's a DN, divided. There is, I don't want to mess with the name of your country, but it's not united. The way a united item in the scriptures of the New Testament would bring grace. So you look at those words of uniting in Christ Jesus, even that small IN, you know, it's a word that brings grace. You know, it's what ignites the person to be called, you know, and to be called through the grace of God, you know, is a unity also. And a lot of the grace words are a unity with God. Even the promises are by grace, but it's a unity. It's all the fullness of the Lord in us. So as it's even defined in the chapter one of John, you know, because of his fullness, we all received, past tense, grace upon grace, you know. And grace there is collated with salvation being the same way. And anyways, I can ramble about this too long. And I just, you know, wanted to bring up that prodigal son and if you look at the beginnings of Christianity, there was an apostle who was filled, Jesus said it, the devil came into him. And just maybe few months before that, he was out there casting demons out of people. Now, if there's no falling away, then what happened with Judas? Didn't he know our doctrines of this not falling away? And what about the guy in 3 John? Diotrephes, I don't know how to say his name, but he had a preeminence. You kind of hope that he was corrected. And Hymenaeus and Alexander. And yes, there's the guy in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, but where's his stepmother? Someone lost his wife. He had a son with his first wife, and he brought this woman into his family. And she was definitely had a spirit on her that was perverse, and this was brought also into the church now. And the apostle had to instruct the deacons that were in Corinth about it, And what can you do when I don't even think he was present at the time, even, So that's a big thing, that these things happen this way, and now they form a union with, could you imagine if it was the book of Acts and they came up with this URI? That means Paul would have to accept the goddess Diana, right? Because and we're not too far away from that, because there are religions there that are involved in there that have many gods and goddesses. Anyway, just trying to convey something that I thought about for a while on that. And you have lots of unities. You have United States, you have United Kingdom, you have the European Union. And is it really united? What how are we to be united, really? Because people are uniting themselves with things, and you should know them by their fruit, obviously. Very recently, with our fathers, they had to be involved in something very drastic so that freedom would persist. But it seems that we have a remembrance day once a year for those people. But I'm kind of wondering, is it a forgetful day? Because peace, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth peace. So they've been trying for 2,026 years to get peace, and we still can't get it right. Anyway, praise and glory to God.
Amen. Anybody else? All right. The really, really good news is that the Lord has already done this for us. He's already accomplished it. That's the great news, actually. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He's already overcome the world. Galatians 2:30. Oh, I'm sorry, 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. He's already overcome the flesh, and we were crucified with Christ. Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By offering the old man, by one offering, the old man was crucified and the new man was given to us. So we have been perfected. Our faith imputes righteousness to us from God, and our faith in what the Lord has already done It's the only thing we need to conquer. That don't sound right. It's the only thing we need to conquer the demons, to conquer the flesh, and to conquer the world, because the Lord's already accomplished this for us. So what do we have to do? Nothing. Just believe that God is doing it in us, right? That's all we have to do. The Lord's already accomplished this for us. That's why we can boldly exercise faith to come against demons concerning someone who is a child of God, concerning someone who is in covenant every time. Jesus never turned away covenant people who had demons any more than he turned away covenant people who were sick. The Bible says he healed them all. And now we just saw that even though he healed them all, and he cast out their spirits of infirmity and their demons, those demons came back because the people didn't appreciate their gift from God. Matthew 12, 43 through 45. As a matter of fact, the demons came back worse because the heavy penalty of the curse causes more people to repent. How many of you want that demon to come back on you 2 times worse than it was before? No, I don't. I don't think that'd be a cool thing to do. All right, does anybody else want to read? Oh, okay. All right, Jill, go ahead.
I'll read for a while. Okay. Of course, we all need to repent. We all need to turn away from this old flesh. And if we give in to the flesh, we're opening a door for the demons to take advantage of us. Remember what Jesus said in John 14:30, the prince of the world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. That's the key. He hath nothing in me. In other words, the Lord hadn't been catering to his flesh. He hadn't been giving in to his flesh. He hadn't been making a door for the devil or demons to enter in and take any kind of possession or take any kind of rights. Glory be to God. That's the great thing about this spirit, soul, and body sanctification that the Lord has given us. If you're wise concerning these things, you can cut the devil off. You can use your shield of faith. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Notice who's getting this deliverance here. Having therefore these promises. Who is it who believes these promises? It's only the covenant people. Let us cleanse ourselves. He didn't say the wicked world. We have a right to cleanse ourselves. We have a covenant with God, a guarantee with God. All of the defilement of flesh and spirit, that is speaking about defilement of your soul, your flesh, and by demon spirits. We have a covenant right. We are guaranteed this cleansing. Hallelujah. I'm
great. All right, let's go ahead and let Andrew go. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, when Julie started reading, it talked about repentance. And you know, that's very early on in the Gospels. And it's also, as I mentioned, fire, Holy Spirit, and water, but there's a baptism of repentance, isn't there? So to sound a bit foolish, when does that happen? You know? And it happens, I think, at your birth. I think you get this baptism of repentance almost right away, you know, even before you're water baptized. But because you do get water baptized, the other baptisms are supposed to be for you. You know, it talks about the chaff and the wheat, or the fire one, you know, and you don't want any chaff in you, and you don't want any weeds in you. So the Lord is cleansing us this way, through his word, of course, the sanctification of his word, and to have the three that bear record, the spirit, the water, and the blood. So I just want to mention this repentance, because people who need to be corrected, even, who are in his name and need to be corrected of the deceivings that they might start, because not everybody could be right, but there is one that is right, and we're not baptized into a denomination. We're not baptized into anything but what it said and what Jesus told you to be going and doing with these people after they get called, that they're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we are to rejoice that our names are written in those three. And if we're in a sanctuary or a tabernacle, the name source is leading us and guiding us. Praise God. Just wanted to say that because, anyway, help me, Lord,
Hey, praise God. Good news. Good news. Republican Guard over in Iran is now giving up. They're starting to give up. They're coming out and giving up. They're saying we can't do this anymore. And I'll let David tell you why. There's things going on in the supernatural that's allowing this to happen. But anywho, all right, anyone else want to read? Okay, Missy,
Do you want me to continue reading, or
well,
I
if you
just
want
read one
to.
paragraph? I don't
Okay,
know, you
go
allow,
ahead.
you're just cutting me off after a paragraph. Did I make a
I'm
mistake?
sorry. No, you didn't. I was just trying to give you a little break. This next sentence, really, if you read it, it doesn't make a little bit of sense. Go ahead. Go ahead and
Doesn't
read it.
make any
Let's see what you get out of it.
Oh, okay. No, I'm not receiving that negative stuff. Okay, I
Hey.
can read it. Not everyone has a right to these benefits because not everyone is not delivered from the curse. Galatians
No,
3:13.
what that mean?
It's like a double negative there, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It's
Okay,
has
so
a
not
right to these
everyone has a
benefits.
right to these benefits because not everyone is delivered from the
Delivered,
curse. It
it
should be.
should
They
be.
got an extra not in there.
Yeah,
True. Got an extra not. I mean, line through that. Okay.
it's a double negative. Yeah.
The double negative. Not delivered. Well, I am delivered, praise God. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us. Who's Paul speaking to? He's talking to the Galatian Christians. And by the way, they were Gentile Christians. 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessings of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Where do you get the blessing of Abraham? Abiding in Christ Jesus. That's the only place you can find it, folks. The unconditional, eternal security people are wrong. You have to abide in Christ. And what does the Bible say about that? 1 John 2:6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. As for you, let that abide in you which ye heard from the beginning. If that which ye heard from the beginning abide in you, ye also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. In other words, the doctrine that was given unto us is what we must abide in. It is what we must have in our heart. This causes us to abide in the Son because He is the Word. So we see here that we might be received, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We receive all the promises of the Spirit through faith. There's the condition. And it doesn't matter if you call yourself a Christian or if you have shaken the preacher's hand or gone to an altar or had an experience with God in the past. The point is, do you believe now? Are you believing now? The benefits of the kingdom are to those who believe. These signs will accompany them that believe. We have a right to minister God's deliverance, but on the other hand, Jesus said in Matthew 8:13, as thou hast believeth, so be it done unto thee. It's very important that we believe to enter into the benefits of the blessings of Abraham. There are some conditions in the scriptures that make it legal to cast demons out of lost people, but it has to do with the benefits of God's people. Acts 16:16, and it came to pass, as we were going to the place of prayer, that a certain maid having a spirit of divination. You may have a footnote that the Greek word there for spirit is python. And Jesus gave us authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, Luke 10:19. These are our kinds of demons. By the way, the serpent has its poison in the head, and the scorpion has its poison in the tail. The head has to do with a lot of times with knowledge, discernment, prophecy, and these kinds of things. These are deceiving spirits, and this was a deceiving false prophecy demon here. Continuing, Acts 16:16, and it came to pass, as we were going to the place of prayer, that a certain maid having a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now, certainly this wasn't a child of the kingdom, right? Acts 16:17. The same following after Paul, and cried out, saying, I'm sorry, following after Paul and us, cried out, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim unto you the way of salvation. Literally, it says a way of salvation. Isn't that what the devil preaches, folks? He preaches that there are many different ways of salvation, but the scripture says otherwise. Acts 4:12. And in none other is there salvation, for neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved. There is no other name given among men wherein we must be saved. So that's what he is repeating there. There's only one way. The Lord is very narrow-minded. Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many are they that enter in thereby. For narrow is the gate, and straitened the way that leadeth unto life, and few are they that find it. He calls it straitened way, and straitened means narrow. Anyone else want to read, or can I continue?
Any comments? Go ahead, Missy.
I'll read unless Julie really wants to continue.
Let's just talk about it just a minute, if you don't mind. So, what has he told us so far? Is anybody listening? Okay, Missy, go ahead. I'm going to let her go, Julie.
Well, basically, I have no covenant rights if I'm not in the covenant, if I haven't repented and believed, unless I'm a true believer. And
Okay.
I have to believe it. I have to believe to receive.
Okay. He that what? He that what?
He that believes.
Now go ahead, Judy.
If we abide in the Lord, it says, I think you're referring to, he said that he abideth in him ought to himself also walk even as he walked. We have to stay in faith
Bingo.
and continue in Christ, continue abiding in Christ, and all that that means. Abiding in Christ and staying
It's
connected and
It's nothing that we do other than believe that Jesus is doing it in us. He's doing all the work. All we've got to do is keep our eyes on him. That's awesome. Okay, Missy, go ahead if you're reading.
Okay. Well, this
Well,
lying demon.
Joe's got his hand up. Go ahead, Joe.
I just want to make a small comment. Maybe if you talk about people, you mustn't ask him if he's a Christian. Maybe ask him, are you a servant of a Most High God? Have you have a covenant? And not just ask him if you're a Christian, because Christian is it's not really saying anything. Are you a servant of a Most High God? Have you got a covenant? Thank you.
Go ahead, Pat. Maybe you have it.
Well, I was just thinking kind of the essence, it's already been brought up, but the essence is in Christ. And of course there's that thinking that is prevalent in the world that there's options. That there's other options. But the bottom line is you are either in Christ or you're in yourself. And there's only two kingdoms, and there's the only really two lives of the soul life. There's only two. There's Christ's life, and there's our life. So, and I think, that's the point of learning to abide in that life of Christ. And obviously we all know that there's a discipleship learning process that takes place there. But it has to be known, it has to be rest on the foundation that there's only two lives in the world that can be lived. And it's either Christ's life of eternal life or our life of that we inherited, basically. And from that foundation, we can, learn to walk in as a goal, as a purpose, as a direction, as I guess, Paul calls it the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus, is that life, that we learn to abide in that life and overcome the old life that is there. It's knowing that living in that old life is not an acceptable option, I guess, is maybe the thing I'm thinking about. So starting from that premise, like I said, that the world system of religion believes that number one, abiding in Christ isn't really possible. So we are forced to abide in our life and try to make the best out of our life and make it look as much like Jesus as possible. And that's the only thing we can expect here on this earth. Just be forgiven and feel good about it. So anyway, so I think starting off with that, a correct foundation or a correct premise, allows us to then walk effectively and learn to walk like Jesus. Anyway, that's all.
Well, I think you're right in a sense, but what we do, all we have to do, Jesus is already in us, right? If Jesus is in us, he's working it out in us, and there's nothing that we have to do physically because God is doing it in us. He's working it in us in his timing. And when we allow him to do it in his timing, it's a done deal once it's done. It's a done deal. But we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We know that Jesus is inside of us. I've had it explained to me this way. And we know Jesus is in us, and we're reading the word of what Jesus has been doing. You'll start looking like Jesus because he's working it in you. He's working it in you. And we're not doing anything in the flesh other than doing. We're going to act like Jesus. And it's not going to be a burden on us. Isn't that what he said? He said it's not going to be, what was the word he said? But anyway, it's more like he's working it out in us already. All we have to do is keep reading the word, keeping in the gospels, and see how Jesus walked. And as we do that, he's working that out in us. And when I got that revelation, I said, well, good, I can quit striving to be better. I want to do better because I want to please God. But it's nothing that I do in the flesh that's going to make me look like Jesus other than read and study the Word of God. And as we do that, it'll, yeah, obey the Word of God. She's right. Yeah, Julie. Do the word of God. I think it's the correct deal. Just do the word. Yeah.
But that's, I was just thinking that what came to mind when you're saying that, Michael, is that the scripture in Hebrews was like, we can rest from our works because the works have already been finished before the foundation of the world. You know, the work's already done, it's already been finished. So we just have to continue fighting the good fight of the faith, you know,
He said his burdens were easy, but didn't he? Yeah.
we just have to quit trying to figure it out ourselves of what to do, you know.
Yeah.
How do we fix our problem? How do we do this? How do we do that? You know, at least that's sometimes how the enemy gets me. It's like, I got to do something. I got to figure out how to do this because I get impatient or I want to see it now anyway.
We do. Go ahead, Andrew.
God's gonna work it all out for us, even like it says in Ephesians 2:10, we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus upon good works, which God afore prepared. He's preparing us that we should walk in them. So it's not you, it's him. Okay? I was reading Daniel chapter 2, and there's a certain word in the ASV. The word sovereignty is in that chapter. And he said concerning the time we live in now that he's not going to leave the sovereignty, his sovereignty, with any nation anymore. He did that, after. And what was mentioning there was it was a time of the iron and clay, he it was just really interesting, that some of the really neat verses down in around 43, 2 and 43, I think it's of Daniel. Anyway.
Where'd we stop at? Yeah, let's see.
146, the first full paragraph.
Okay, did you want to read?
Yep.
Or have you finished? Okay.
Well, this lying demon was perverting the gospel of Paul into many ways. Acts 16:18. And this she did for many days. But Paul, being sore troubled, turned and said to the Spirit, I charge thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. Here's an instance where he said, come out in the name of Jesus. That's not a law, but he exercised his authority. Acts 16:19. But when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they laid hold on Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. So when her master saw their hope of gain was gone, they started to persecute Paul and Silas. Acts 16:20. And when they had brought them into the magistrate, they said, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and set forth customs which it is not lawful for us to receive or to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent their garments off them and commanded to beat them with rods. And when they had laid their stripes, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them out in they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, cast them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, this woman wasn't a Christian, and she hadn't heard the gospel. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Certainly, what we need to do if we want to see someone delivered is preach the gospel to them first. We need to make sure that they are believers in what the Lord accomplished at the cross. He is our sacrifice. He is our blood covenant. And when we preach the gospel and when people believe it, there are other things we should cover immediately. We should cover baptism. We should cover being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we should cover deliverance. If there's a deliverance necessary because this poor child of God almost, this poor child of God cannot serve him very well under the burden of these demons. So you should make sure, first of all, that you're entering through the door here, that you are first of all offering the good news, the gospel, to these people. It's like people who want to go out and heal everybody, but they don't offer them the gospel. Well, the gospel is the power of God into salvation to everyone who believes it. So we need to be offering the gospel. We need to be preaching the gospel. There was another instance years ago where the Lord showed me it was legal to cast out demons out of a person, and it was in my house, out of a lost person, and it was in my home. Oh my gosh, Lord help me. In Acts 16:16, it was legal to cast out demons from a lost woman because she was hindering the gospel, and Apostle Paul was being tormented by that demon spirit of hers. You see, we're not under the curse, and when another person's curse involves bringing us under the curse, then we have authority. We have authority from God not to live under the curse, and Paul knew that. I'm sure Paul had in his mind Matthew 15:26, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. He didn't jump quickly to cast the demon out of this woman, but maybe the Lord spoke the same thing to Paul that he spoke to me. Hey, Paul, you're not under the curse. You don't have to put up with this. And being frustrated with this woman ruining his gospel message, Paul did what he could. He exercised his authority and broke the power of that demon. Continue. Okay. Well, I
Hang on
needed
just a
something.
second. Hang on. Has anybody got any questions or any comments on this? Okay, go ahead.
Well, I needed something like that when my mother came to live with me. She was living over in Louisiana while we were living in Florida, and there was a good distance between us. We were having trouble because she was on medications for different ailments, including some mental conditions, and she was writing bad checks and things like that. She was rather old and feeble and had some of what is called dementia. I decided we couldn't continue to handle the situation over such a distance, so she had to come move in with us. Well, don't you know? She was tormenting us. She would do really weird things, such as go into the refrigerator late at night and just leave the door wide open. That's how we'd find it when we'd enter the kitchen in the morning. Or she'd run up the long distance bill. One time, she even went running down the street yelling, "Help, help, save me from these people." Oh, Lord have mercy. thank God the neighbors understood when I went out there and hauled her back home. Anyway, we were having these kinds of torments, and I didn't know what to do. I did know that the Lord said it is not right to cast the children's bread to the dogs, but she was in our house and bringing us under the curse by keeping us awake all night, and so on. These are the kind of things dementia does to a person. Do we want to continue reading with only 5 minutes left?
Oh, where'd you stop? We need to be preaching the gospel.
An interesting thing, 147, last full paragraph. An interesting thing was that during this time,
Missy, where'd you stop?
Page 147. The next place that needs to be read is an interesting thing was that during this time,
okay,
the last
you
full
read, you
paragraph.
Read that? You read
no,
that?
we need to start there.
Okay. Oh, I guess that I need to know. I couldn't tell who you were. I got hit in the mind somewhere else. Okay, has anybody got any comments?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, Judy.
Can
go
you
ahead.
just picture? I mean, I don't know what David's mom looks like, but can you just picture some older lady running down the street? Help, help, save me from these people. Can you
Oh,
imagine? I just, you know, it's like, oh, what'd you do? So the neighbors were just shaking their heads, like, oh, no.
I don't
you
believe
know, some of his testimonies just crack me up, the things that happen.
Yeah, he's got some funny ones. Anybody else got anything they'd like to add? Where did Anna go? She must have gone to bed. She was here earlier. Okay.
She ducked out a long time ago, Michael.
I know, I know. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to add? I'd like to say. Yeah, Andrew. We got 2 minutes.
Well, I just want to remind us that an open door has to be set. If the apostle needed the open door to be open for him, then and the doors of these people to receive has to be open, you know, just like it says in Revelation 3:20, you know. Jesus has to come knocking on the person's door so that he can get in him, you know, and sup with him and you with you. Well, it's you're supping with Jesus, okay? You're having the Lord's Supper with him, and you're having the lots of bread and lots of wine and milk and water and honey and vegetables. Anyway, so don't forget to make your tuna fish sandwiches. Anyway, praise and glory to God.
Okay. All right. We're out of time. God bless y'all. We'll see you next time. Lord is willing.